Breaking today on Seculo is a major staff leak reveals Kamala campaign chaos.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey folks, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls too. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I think, again, when we are getting this close to, again, debates, people start voting. Remember, I think those votes go out. We were talking about yesterday, 10 days from when Jack Smith filed on Monday. So that's now 8 days away in North Carolina. Other states, early voting and ballots will start going out over these next, 30 days, that while people are voting, we now have, right, the first interview, if you want to put it in quotes, I do, because, again, it is a pre-taped interview. It'll happen while we're finishing up the broadcast today. It is something that you, as a campaign, you would put parameters on. You would go over with CNN. You would go over with Dayton Pash over, you know, what are the no-goes? And you'd kind of go back and forth, not to say that every question will be easy, but to say that, again, these are some areas that we don't want to focus on. We're not going to spend the majority of the interview talking about, you know, pushing Joe Biden out, that kind of thing. But the fact is, she's not even doing it, Harris, by herself. She's doing it with Walt. So we're going to talk about that because there's also trouble inside campaign world. So I think it's time for the Trump campaign. This is really when you've got to build your momentum. If the campaign world itself, and they are starting to tell the media that there's a lot of confusion about who's in charge. Is it the former Biden team that Harris left in place? Is it the Obama team that Harris brought in post-pushing Biden out? Who is in charge? You always have to know in a campaign, ultimately, you can debate everything, you can come up with great ideas, somebody has to be the one who can say yes or no, and it can't be the candidate all the time or the VP. It's got to be someone who's inside working with the team on a daily basis, who's approving the ad, who's approving the ad script, where it's going to run, how many markets are we going to run it in, how much are we going to spend, what states are we going to next? You know, all of that has got to be something that ultimately one person has to be able to make the call on, and everyone has to trust whether they took their decision or not, because you have to build that team element that we're all trying to put forward our best thoughts and minds, and it means sometimes your idea is going to be taken and sometimes it's not. That's not what happened, though, when Axios, of all places, calls it a Frankenstein team that doesn't have, quote, good vibes.
That's right. And when you look at a campaign that has now shifted to the Joy campaign, what it sounds like is happening within the campaign itself is less than that. It sounds like there is frustration. It appears to be two different competing teams to some degree, where there were holdovers from the Biden campaign and then new employees, new campaign staffers brought on that are former Obama staffers. One thing to note is that Harris doesn't have these decades-long relationships with staffers because her turnover has been remarkably high. It's been called out that she of
her
vice
last
president
chief of staff was inside the exactly. Vice president's. I mean, it was they were. But did she go through like 30 or 40 or 50 like high level?
It is record number of turnover within the vice president's office. So what do you have to do? You have to keep some people on that are Biden loyalists, and you have to bring people in from the Obama team. I also think there's probably tension because those two teams historically didn't work super well together during the Obama administration. And when you see kind of the tension between Biden and President Obama himself, now you see that it's probably spilling over in the campaign as well.
You know what, folks? We're in the final 2 days of our Life and Liberty Drive, your last chance to have your gift doubled at ACLJ.org. We urgently need your support as we launch a major new initiative. We're going to talk about it later in the show today. But what we just heard, another story linked to those pro-life pregnancy centers and the attack on them has us horrified, but we know you're going to respond. We'll get into it later in the broadcast. We got more time, but I just need to tell you this. We are running behind. We need your financial support at ACLJ. We need you to donate today at ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. We'll talk more politics when we get back, but we need your support at the ACLJ. Donate today, whatever amount you can. Have that donation doubled at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. and it plays into this story about the Harris campaign. You know, yesterday they finally determined that they were going to go by the CNN rules of that first debate. The mics would be muted when they're not talking, and when the question's not to you, and when it is, that your microphone will be turned on, or if you're allowed to respond. And so Harris, you know, they kept making these requests, kept making these requests, but ABC has said no. They were trying to get Donald Trump into one of those matches where he's, again, I guess, trying to talk over Harris. They're hoping people wouldn't actually get to hear what she has to say, I guess, because it honestly may be the first time she's ever in like a press conference type setting. Because I think when people say they want to see Harris do an interview, what they're really talking about is Harris taking questions from the press, not in a sit-down, pre-taped format. Yes, she's doing an interview today, but she's not doing it by herself. Waltz is with her. She's doing it pre-taped while we're on the air today to run in primetime. CNN will cut it up. They're not going to show it to you straight. Some parts will be cut completely. They may even say we're going to save others and we'll air those later in different broadcasts about different parts because they're going to want to comment on it. And then, you know, they may even leak some of it out earlier in the day today to give you some of a preview. That's a pre-taped interview where you still are leaning on your vice presidential nominee to help get you through it. So for me, that's not what people are asking for or what the press is really asking for. What the press is asking for is an opportunity. You stand up in the podium and you take our questions. And some of the questions you may not like, but you've got to decide how you're going to handle them. You can kind of deflect. You can handle them one time straight on and say, you know what, I'll address this one time. Boom, here it is. But I'm not going to address it again. You can do it like that. You can take the opportunity to show people that you're not afraid. That in fact, yes, you have a different campaign strategy. You think that maybe I don't need to be doing this as much as President Trump does, but I'm not afraid of doing these. I just think it's not the best use of my time on the campaign trail. That's something you could do after you actually do one of those press conferences. But Will, as somebody who walks into a studio, you know, 5 out of 7 days a week, and literally, yes, we prep, but there is no script. There is no teleprompter here. I'm not reading a teleprompter to you right now. When we take your questions, you tell our call screener kind of what they'll be, but honestly, that's about 60%. Right. On the time.
So what is amazing to me is that there's really a tale of two campaigns going on right now for the Democrats. There's the media created, made for TV Kamala Harris, which is, look at how well her polls are. Look at how much money is pouring into the campaign now that Biden has dropped out. Look how great it is. Look how wonderful the DNC was. It was so joyful and angry at the same time. And then you have these leaks that are going to Axios that are saying the opposite of saying like, look, yeah, we may be raising money and we're in a good position, but people are colliding within the campaign. There are Biden staffers that are frustrated. They're having to defend her previous policies about Medicare for all or ending fracking. And now, I mean, I can't imagine what they're thinking right now about the new border wall plan that Kamala Harris has plagiarized from President Trump's campaign. But it just seems that we're living in this weird, bizarro world where there is the media narrative, which sets her on a pedestal, allows her to get away with not talking to them for over a month, and now doing a very friendly interview with the support of her vice presidential pick nominee with her. And I have to think what those conversations have to be like inside the campaign, where there does seem to be chaos and turmoil and maybe some animosity against the Obama versus Biden people inside that campaign, where you're sitting here and you're like, you know what? We know this optically isn't going to be the best thing, that the first interview she does is with CNN, and as well, it's not solo. It is pre-taped with her vice presidential pick. And you know, they have to be thinking it's either they have to think this doesn't look great, but it's the best we've got right now. And so we're going to go for it. And at least maybe it'll silence the talking points that she hadn't done an interview. But also maybe everyone will forget it as they go into the Labor Day holiday.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Two things. One is it probably won't be horrible. It probably won't be great because it's pre-taped. So, again, it's hard to make those pre-taped things really horrible because with two people sitting there to jump in when they need to, I mean, you know, they cut around it. CNN is obviously pushing out Harrison. The interview, they want, obviously, if they want to get more of these, they're not going to try to make her look horrible. So that's one sec. This, as you said, Will, the part two of that is that, again, this is going into a holiday weekend. And third, they can call it an interview. And I guess technically it is, even though it's a pre-taped interview. It's not live. So there's nothing about this that is unscripted in many ways. And, you know, you're not going to get the, I don't think there's any gotcha questions that are coming forward, because the campaign, you'd fire that campaign person who was, I guess, especially with all the Frankensteinness going on and the confusion going on, if they didn't do a good job negotiating this interview, knowing that it was going to be the big time. You said, yes, see, I will do an interview. People want to see a press conference. That's what they're really talking about. The media is saying, we, as the traveling press corps, need an opportunity to ask questions. You don't have, you're not going to take questions from all 25 or how many there ever are following her around at a given time. But you do need to take some that are not always pleasant. You take some hard ones. You take some easy ones. You take every one of them. And if you're good at it, you knock them out of the park. It doesn't matter if they are the toughest questions or the easiest questions, because you prep and you know what you're going to say, especially after being vice president this long. Now I want to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But I do want to tell you about this while we are, again, getting your calls ready. And I want to hear from you, too. Are any of you going to take the time tonight, it's at 9 p.m. Eastern time, to see what CNN is able to Frankenstein together, honestly, with this interview between Harris and her vice president and Dana Bash? So 2-on-1. It's very bizarre. I mean, it shows you. It kind of plays to how nervous they are about any kind of interview setting, even a pre-taped setting like this where it's going to be done earlier in the day. Like I said, they'll be done with this a little bit after we're done with a live radio broadcast. Let me say, live radio broadcast, where we take live phone calls and live questions. And if breaking news happens, we get to it and we get it to you the best way possible that we can. And we're not afraid of doing that. We're not afraid of, again, if you have to come back and correct it, you do, because we're getting you the best we can and the best analysis every single day. And we're taking your calls too, 1-800-684-3110. Are you going to tune into this? I mean, because CNN is playing it up like, oh, it's the first interview. I think that's really, again, stretching the term interview. Technically, I guess, yes, it is an interview. It's really a packaged piece, is what we call it more in like the media world, because it's like a package that you're playing around her becoming the candidate post the, now that we're outside of the convention, on the campaign trail. This is not a press conference. This is not taking live questions. This is not being on the airplane and taking 5-6 questions from the press, coming back to see the traveling press corps. I mean, imagine being on that press team, right? A press corps. You're traveling. You have to follow her around all over the country, and she never takes your questions. I mean, all they're doing is reporting at pre-planned events where she's reading off a teleprompter with a hand-selected crowd. I mean, Will, that is not only a boring, but it could exactly be, boring may be exactly what they're going for here.
Well, and I think CNN is in a very like precarious situation.
Cemetery thing a story.
Right.
Which, let me just say something. Donald Trump went. Tulsi Gabbard went. Kamala Harris put out a statement. Okay. So whatever about their campaign staff and some photographer who did have the credentials or didn't have the right credentials, Donald Trump was there with the families. So even these other people in the military commenting that weren't there, he was there with those Gold Star families. They were happy he was there. That at least a former president of the United States was there acknowledging the loss of life. Not Biden and not Harris. By the way, why couldn't Biden go to that? I mean, he's a lame duck president at this point. Oh, yeah, because he's on another vacation, I believe.
He's on the beach in Delaware.
Yeah, so he's gone from... But he's not going by the campaign headquarters in Delaware, but his team is still stuck there. I mean, the whole thing, just of this week of these optics, they want to make her boring. They want you to think they're not radical, they're not extreme, they're the coach and the teacher and the former prosecutor and, you know, boring is good because you'll get to focus on your life and don't worry about all the money that they're going to take from you and the inflation and not being able to afford anything. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. But let me say this. We're in the final 2 days of our Life and Liberty Drive, your last chance to have your gift doubled at aclj.org. And we urgently need your support as we launch. This is a major new initiative, and we haven't even told you about all of it yet. It's coming up later in the broadcast. We told you about our lawsuit fighting the smear campaign against pregnancy resource centers. We told you we're going to launch a counter campaign to set the record straight and spread hope to those in crisis. And we just heard another story linked to the case that has us horrified. We're going to tell you the entire story just in the next segment of the broadcast. I'm going to be blunt with you. It's going to take immense resources. Immense. We've got a number. We're going to give it to you in the next segment. But it is vitally important in the fight for life. We can't ignore that in the midst of all this, you know, political discussion. We're still short of our goal. We only have 2 days left. So please go to aclj.org and have your gifts doubled. Folks, this is not just to say, you know, the ACLJ is your regular budget, you know, that we're trying to raise for here right now. We are trying to do something new, big, and different to stand alongside these pro-life pregnancy centers who we all always have represented in court. But remember, they are on the front lines of the fight for life every single day, saving lives while they're being smeared by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Stand with us, stand with them. Donate today. 2 days left, aclj.org. All right, welcome back to Seculo. So you know we've launched that initiative in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to fight back, and we are in court. Next week, we'll be filing again there. But we want to remind folks that we want to do more. Remember the counter campaign we've been talking about there, because this is an ad campaign being run by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in partnership with a pro-abortion organization. There's one of the examples, if you're watching the broadcast, of the kind of ads that are running on buses and signs and TV and government websites and web ads as well. But we want to take the counter campaign to the next level, because there was a lot of talk, Logan, about the abortion bus at the DNC. Yeah. It was the abortion and vasectomy bus, and that Planned Parenthood or other abortion organizations were providing, and it got a lot of attention. And people forget that it is actually Save the Storks and these pro-life resource centers that have these buses for mothers all around the country, and we want to make sure Massachusetts has also got a bus ready to go.
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot going on around the country right now, and yes, that story obviously hit last week, and it did seem oddly familiar, because we know there are these mobile medical units that a lot of pro-life pregnancy centers use that they take around the country. Save the Storks is the organization we've worked with from time to time, and there's certainly one that we are working with currently in the situation.
Number of pro-life pregnancy centers. They're like a conglomeration.
Yes, they represent all over the country. And we heard a story from them that really just kind of brought this all home, and it really was horrifying to hear. And that was that the quote-unquote abortion bus, I guess if you will, that was parked in front of the DNC, at the DNC they performed over 30 abortions, and like you said, also other medical care, if you will. But really, that was the big deal. We're going to have abortions in front of it. That it was a direct ripoff of a Save the Storks bus. And if you're watching right now, here is the side-by-side, except, of course, that Save the Storks, nicer facility when you went inside. But again, the plans, the actual bus, everything that we've seen so far, Save the Storks told us the story that they feel like their bus design was completely ripped off. And they build these mobile medical units that provide, obviously, pregnancy care to women in need. They help save lives. They go to very specific areas. Oh, yeah. I mean, they got multiple rooms, ultrasound rooms. They do a lot on board these their buses. They're mobile, or they call them mobile medical. But, I mean, to kind of counterback the Planned Parenthood, it is that. It is the opposite of that. It is a mobile health center that can go into areas where it's needed the most. And again, of course, provide medical needs for those that are pregnant. And we know, though, that this isn't just sadly what's going to happen around the country, which is they didn't just do this for fun, for one thing, for a photo op. They see this as working for pro-life pregnancy centers, and they're going to try to take that from them. And we want to make sure at the ACLJ that when we're working with our teams, that we are not only providing the ability to fight back legally, but like I said, we're doing that huge counter campaign. And one of the parts of the counter campaign now is we are going to take this national, well beyond just Massachusetts. is we want to partner with Save the Storks to sponsor a new bus. And wherever they feel like it is needed the most. That's not our area, but we, ACLJ supporters and ACLJ champions, are going to be a part of this. Now, obviously, it's a big deal. It fully encompasses what we're doing here at the ACLJ. So we have our counter campaign that's running in Massachusetts. We have the legal side that's happening in Massachusetts. And now we have seen this direct attack on these pro-life pregnancy resource centers, and now they're mobile units, and we want to be a part of putting one of these back on the road, a brand new Save the Storks Stork bus, and we want to put it right where it's needed the most. And that is why we are not just pro-life here. We are pro-life as far as you take it. So the ACLJ supporters and ACLJ champions, we want you to get behind this. And look, this is not cheap. These are full. Look at the insides of these. These are full medical units, so we can sponsor this. We can be a part of it. The ACLJ supporters, ACLJ champions, we want to take this program to the next level. And this being the day before our final day here during our Life and Liberty Drive, I'm going to encourage you to take on this incredible undertaking. We need the support of our ACLJ champions and our ACLJ members. And it's going to take, when we talked about our litigation efforts, talking about the counter campaign, and now to help sponsor a new Stork bus, today, we are looking to raise $500,000. We believe that is the budget that is needed to get this to happen. And look, that is a big day for us at the ACLJ, yeah. But we're taking a completely new path. We are taking a path to say, not only are we going to be fighting back legally, not only are we fighting back media, we're going to partner with Save the Storks, and we're going to get a new Stork bus out there that is sponsored by ACLJ champions and ACLJ donors. And of course, an ACLJ champion is someone that takes a donation, and they decide to make it a monthly donation. But of course, during this month of August, which wraps up, and it really will wrap up in just a couple of days, all of those initial donations are doubled. So we can hit that goal with those matching gifts. We can hit that goal today. It is not impossible. It is not improbable. Be a part of it right now. Be a part of what makes all of us different in the pro-life community, where they can fight back and say, you don't care. You don't look at what we're doing. We're taking it at every available moment. We are saying, okay, we are going to respond in the media, we are going to respond in the law, and now we are going to sponsor a new Stork bus, again, putting it where it's needed the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is very cool because, again, you know we're going to do the litigation. We already are. You know we're going to do the counter campaign. We're working on those ads as we speak, Logan. I want to tell people about that, too. We're working on that ad campaign.
Yeah, we are working right now with partners in Massachusetts to make sure we have ad campaigns that are going to be running online, ad campaigns that are going to be running outdoor, that you're going to see them. So this is going to be happening.
But to do it all, including sponsoring the new bus, we need to raise about $500,000, and we need to do it very quickly as part of our Life and Liberty Drive, which has 2 days here.
Yeah, I think we do it today. I think when you're watching right now, if you could, we encourage you right now, if you're watching online, scan the QR code. If you're listening, go to aclj.org and do it. And this is live, by the way. We are doing this show live here as we're wrapping up the month. This is August 29th, so I want you to know we are live because this is something that we are getting approved in real time. Again, this all happened because back in July, I was walking the streets of Boston, Massachusetts, and I start seeing these billboards and these signs that were saying, you know, get away from anti-abortion clinics, avoid anti-abortion centers, get the care that you can trust. And I was like, oh, well, that must be Planned Parenthood running this campaign. No, it's the government of Massachusetts running it. So we are taking them to court. We are taking a massive media campaign, and now we want to partner with Save the Storks to create a brand new Stork bus that is sponsored by ACLJ champions. Again, we're not going to kind of leave any stone unturned here with this campaign.
Can I have a minute, too, with some of you who may have financial resources available to you? Maybe you haven't made a bigger donation to ACLJ, but this may be the reason why you want to, because this is something, again, maybe you can't feel the lawsuit the same way. Maybe the ad campaign even, you see ad campaigns. But the bus itself, you know, when you hear something like that, that you can really be a part of, to know that the ACLJ is going to be a part of getting another one of these on the road, wherever it needs to be, wherever it's most important, because we know this campaign to take on these pro-life pregnancy centers and pregnancy resource centers is not stopping in Massachusetts. It's starting there. It's going to go all over the country. And they're using it also, by the way, if you are concerned about politics, they're using it hand in hand as a campaign tool. They think they're winning this issue by going after those who are on the front lines of the battle to save lives. So if you can make bigger donations, this is the day to do it. Because one, we need it. We gave you a number to do the litigation, to do the counter campaign, to put together the resources for our new bus, it's about $500,000. Okay? We can raise that today at the ACLJ, but we're going to need some of you bigger donors to step up as well, and your gift will still be doubled. So go to ACLJ.org today and make that donation. And for our smaller donors, I want to say thank you because you have tighter budgets and you still make a budget to be able to donate to the ACLJ. And we appreciate that so much. That's the core of our support at the American Center for Law and Justice. Thank you. If you haven't made a donation this month, we need it today at ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
A little message, too, to our supporters and listeners. I appreciate you just sticking with the broadcast today. You know that we don't usually use these shows to even spend that much time ever fundraising for the ACLJ. I just think it's something unique and special that we're doing and that you want to be a part of. So, you know, talking about with a specific number like that, with something that's not, you know, kind of a little bit outside the norm of what we're do as with the legal work, even with the issue advocacy, even with the ads, that's kind of all goes in with what we're doing through broadcasting as well. But, you know, doing the actual bus is something new for us. And running an ad campaign on behalf of those pro-life resource centers is also kind of new for us as well. Not taking the issue on, of course, we're broadcasting in Massachusetts, but, you know, to do that and know that this is just the start. And then if we're going to combat this, we've got to start, we got to get ahead of this right now, or else we're going to lose this issue after all of that legal work that's been done for decades to overturn Roe versus Wade. We are going to lose this issue to generations who are being misled by bad information, bad ballot initiatives, poorly written ballot initiatives, and sometimes just bad politics on both sides of the aisle, to be quite honest with you. And this one, I don't care, you're Republican, Democrat, your faith background, it's about saving human lives. But Will, we're also talking politics today.
That's
this
right.
All ties into it as well. It'd be interesting to see if Harris and Waltz, they love talking about abortion, so I would wonder how they're going to, you know, redefine abortion and what other terms they're going to be redefining tonight.
That's right. Let's go to the phones real quick. Let's go to Dave calling on line two from California. Dave, you're on Seculo.
Hey, I appreciate the, you taking my call, and a longtime supporter here.
Thank you.
A comment and a question. Comment, yeah, I see this ABC interview as a propaganda pre-commercial for Harris, period. My question is, and I don't know if you're going to be able to address this, and it's kind of a little bit off topic, but, you know, one of my biggest issues is the election integrity.
Yep.
What has happened in the past 4 years? What has each state done? What has our country done to, you know, I just don't want to go to bed on election night and see somebody leading and then wake up the next morning after they shut down all the polling and whatever shenanigans happen. I don't want to see that again.
Yeah. Well, Dave, some of that is going to be the counting and how close this is. This could be a close enough election where we might not know when we go to sleep. Now, you're in California, so you get a few extra hours on the East Coast, but you could still wake up. That doesn't mean that election integrity hasn't been put in place better. But let me tell you the truth. Where is it better? In red states. Now, I will say in places like Georgia, in Arizona, they're fighting to get better election integrity. And many other states have tightened up election integrity. Arizona's still fighting it out in court, but they were able to get some okays from the U.S. Supreme Court on trying to put some election integrity in place, on the voting, on how quickly the voting needs to be done, on when the voting should start. So listen, right now I think you have to shift to, unless you are a campaign campaign law expert, our job, your job, is if we work on those issues all the time, and we are doing some of those right now as we speak. But for the activist out there, your job is to turn out the vote, and it's to turn out your friends. It's to talk to your friends and family, to talk to the members of your church, and to start talking through the issues. And sometimes, let's be honest, everybody, you can sound bold on a broadcast. I can even sound bold on a broadcast. But then you get out into the real world and you don't want to talk about Donald Trump, do you? Or do you want to bring it up at your dinner party or at church after, not during church, but, you know, after church when you're talking to friends, and even if they bring up politics. I feel like, though, our audience is the group that can. And you have to do so in a nice way. There's going to be people who are watching Harris and they are going to buy the junk that's being sold. And so start there. Start realizing that people don't always look through, you know, the back end. And so we really need to educate people, and you can educate your neighbors and get them out to vote. And that's how you win elections. And Logan, how you change hearts and minds is by this new campaign.
That's
that we're launching.
Right. We do have this big campaign right now. And again, we're calling on a big goal today. ACLJ.org. Yeah, today. Go to ACLJ.org. We only have a couple days left during this drive, so be a part of it. Scan the QR code, ACLJ.org/life and liberty if you want to go direct. But it is a big part of the campaign against sponsoring a new Stork bus. That is a pro-life pregnancy medical bus that will be on the road. It's brought to you by ACLJ supporters and champions.
Secular. I know this is a bit different of a show for everybody today. We're going to get into your politics, though. 1-800-684-3110 into the calls. Thanks for holding on, folks. Because, again, we decided, and really this is just because it came to our attention that we could be a part of this in discussions yesterday, right after the broadcast, that how to put this together, this campaign. Not only are we doing the litigation in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and of course we'll do it across the country where needed for the pro-life resource centers, the pregnancy resource centers. Not only are we doing the counter campaign, which is something new for the ACLJ as well, not to take out ads, but to do it really directly targeted at what the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and this pro-abortion organization is doing to smear pro-life pregnancy centers in Massachusetts, but to take it a step further and actually work with Save the Storks to put another Save the Storks mobile pregnancy resource center bus out there because of these abortion buses that were totally ripped off, now we know, from Save the Storks and their pro-life pregnancy resource buses. And we want to be a part of getting another one of those, a brand new, on the road. So we're going to be doing that at the ACLJ. Now, the how quickly that happens and how fast we can expand, that comes down to you, our donors, and our supporters. It's a big number. We want to try and raise $500,000 today. Now, remember, we're a grassroots organization, but we're nationwide. We know we've done this in the past, so we know we can do it today, but you've got to respond. And that means the $10 donor, the $5,000 donor as well. And maybe there's a $20,000 donor out there, or even bigger, who says, you know what, I want to get that bus on the road really quick.
And then that becomes $40,000.
Right, because you still are part of the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, where your donation is doubled at ACLJ.org. Now, I want to get back to the calls. We're going to talk politics as well. Let's get to them on the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Bill, who's calling on line 4 in Michigan. Bill, you're on Seculo.
Hi, guys. The bus sounds awesome. I was calling for a couple of things. To piggyback on the last caller, I'm in Michigan, where we've got Jocelyn Benson, the Secretary of State, threatening her own clerks across the county, saying, you better certify these elections or we're coming after you. So that makes me sick. And the other comment I had is, you've got J.D. Vance, in contrast to Harris and Walz, doing rallies, and at the end of every rally, he sets aside 20 to 25 minutes where he takes questions, and he insists on taking the local reporters first, and that's getting good play in those areas, but obviously nothing nationwide.
Well, you know, it gets play nationwide, the tough questions, but you know what it shows? He's not afraid to take them. So people, I think sometimes, even though they may say, oh, that was a tough question, he responded, and oh, his response was aggressive. You know, he responded to some of the attacks by Harris on Trump actually being in Arlington Cemetery other than putting out a statement about it. You know, and they're trying to attack Donald Trump and Tulsi Gabbard, who was there, and others for attending that ceremony marking the 3 years with the Gold Star families of those 13 who were killed during the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. And Biden wasn't there and Harris wasn't there, but they're trying to attack Donald Trump over it. And J.D. Vance responded aggressively to that. You know how? Because he got a question about it. He got a question about it from the press, and it was a hostile question. And he responded because he's tough enough to take questions. And if you're going to be vice president of the United States, not the president of the United States, do you see Donald Trump and J.D. Vance standing next to each other doing press conferences? No, they do them independently because they prep. They know they are on the same team. But Harris, she can't, her first televised interview since doing this, by the way, is pre-taped on CNN. And she's going to be sitting next to Walz. It's like, this is the tough, strong woman that's going to be president and has to have the man by her?
Well, and I think one thing that came out of yesterday with that press conference and that tougher question, the one about Arlington, is that the media is all of a sudden clutching their pearls that he used mildly spicy language out of a moment of frustration. I mean, that was trending all over Twitter and X. But to me, I think that plays in the rural areas and middle America much more, because as you watched him, it was he had a very emotional response. Yeah, yeah. Because he was thinking about 13 Americans that died at Abbey Gate, and in someone who has served in combat zone, unlike the running mate of Kamala Harris, you could tell it really affected him when he started answering the question that he got to a moment, and all of a sudden the media is puritanical when it comes to the way that they look at a candidate, and it's very one-sided. But once again, I think that it shows the wherewithal of the Trump and Vance campaign to take those questions and answer honestly.
I think it's very strange, and it reminds me a lot of her lack of going to the border when there was a lot of pressure going to the border.
Make up stories about
then it almost becomes like a something they don't want to do, because making a conservative talking point that she won't do interviews, so therefore it's almost like becoming stubborn about it, like stubbornly not going to the border.
We don't
stubbornly,
need to. Like, I don't
stubbornly
need to.
Not doing it because the press is calling for it. Sorry, you're right. Like, I don't need to. And there's something about that and that attitude that really irks me. The fact that you could have cut this off very quickly, had an interview, no one would have cared. But they made it an issue. They made it an issue that she won't do interviews. And now, even this, with a little swerve, with she won't do interviews alone. This is a very strange moment where this has happened now with her over and over again. And I don't think it is just out of her being scared to do them. I do think that's part of it. I think it's they see it as almost a conservative win if she sits down and does an interview. Yeah, they saw it as a conservative win if she goes to the border,
right,
and actually admits it. Of course, now we see where that led us.
Yeah, and I mean, again, we'll see. We'll all know on election day or couple days after, if this works. I mean, but the idea that you know, people are really calling for, and the press is calling for, and by the way, liberal press too, is a press conference where they can ask questions, and some of those questions are going to be hostile. And guess what? She should be able to handle them pretty easily, because if you're going to be president of the United States, a hostile question from a reporter kid shouldn't be the hardest thing in life. And you should be able to do them, and that's why Trump does them a lot. I mean, regularly. I think he does them more than his campaign would wish he did, and J.D. Vance does them almost every single day, as the caller pointed out. I do want to point out this, though, Logan, because we just heard that story that horrified all of us, and we told you about the abortion bus. We talked about it during the DNC, where Planned Parenthood performed up to, at least we know, 30 abortions. That's the number so far that they're reporting. And we just found out that they ripped off their bus design from our friends at Save the Storks. There you go. There's the comparison. If you're watching the broadcast, you can see the Save the Storks bus and the Planned Parenthood abortion bus. Save the Storks builds mobile medical units that provide pregnancy care to women and actually save lives. One state has already partnered with the abortion industry, using taxpayer funds, we know, in Massachusetts, to pressure women into abortions, to smear pro-life centers, and they're going to spread it to the rest of the country. That's just their test case. So we've decided, hey, we're going to file a massive lawsuit to fight back. We have filed the lawsuit. We are fighting back that way on behalf of the pro-life pregnancy centers there. We're preparing to do something else, launching a counter ad campaign, because that's part of what they're doing as well. So we're going to launch that counter ad campaign to spread truth about the pro-life pregnancy centers and hope. And now we want to do something, Logan, we've never done before. It's something huge. We're all passionate about it here. Everybody's really pumped up about it, but we've got to have the resources to do it, because this is not just something we had budgeted, a few months ago, a litigation budget, or even in an ad budget, or even in a rainy day fund. This is bigger than that. So tell people about it, Logan.
That's right. To combat what's happening on the streets, and we're seeing it now. When I saw the Planned Parenthood bus, I'll be honest, my first thought was that looks very similar to the Storks bus, because the Storks bus, by the way, has been here to our offices.
Yeah.
It was parked out front. We did a video for them, let them use our studio space, as we've done throughout the years. And I thought that does look very similar. And when they told us the story that not only does it look similar, but it is completely ripped off, the plans, all this, of course, done in a way that's maybe less nice, if you will. I mean, if you see the comparison photos, you can tell the interiors are similar. They're similarly set up, but they are not the same at all in terms of
well, one
the
way is about hope in life, and what is about death?
Death and getting you out of there as quick as possible, and that is what they do. I think we have that picture. Maybe we could show
this, it. Yeah, the side by side.
We have that. There you go. So you can see even the top one. That's your
Hope in life.
That's your Save the Storks medical mobile medical unit, and then the bottom you see that Planned Parenthood.
Let me tell you, that's as clean as that Planned Parenthood one is ever getting.
Exactly. We talked to our friends at Save the Storks, and we said, look, the ACLJ, we're involved in a lot of projects. We obviously got a lot going on with this counter campaign, and I've heard so much from so many people, including what we're going to be doing. On the streets of Massachusetts, you know, literally you're going to see billboards and signs, and you're going to have ads being run on social media. A lot of you have reacted to that, but we go, what can we do to even just step it up one more? And that is to get ACLJ champions, those people who give monthly, and ACLJ supporters, those individual donors, to be a part of sponsoring a new Stork bus where it's needed the most. And it's going to help save unborn babies' lives and provide care, hope, and resources for women in need. But again, this is out of our wheelhouse. This is not what we normally do. But we decided to partner with them because, look, they know how to do it. They know how to do it well.
Yep.
And we can be that conduit to them to really kick off sponsoring this bus, this ACLJ Champions and ACLJ Supporters Stork Bus. It's going to take, for this, our legal campaign, our media campaign,
the
counter campaign, at a minimum, we are looking at a $500,000
That's on top budget. Of what we're already spending on even, the ad campaign and the legal work that we're already doing.
And I said today I want that to be our goal. As we are heading towards the end of this month and the end of our, you know, where your donations are doubled during the Life and Liberty Drive, and it'll be months until we're able to have another one of those. This is the time. This is the moment. Let's do it over the next day. Raise that support. ACLJ.org right now. Coming back with your calls.
I want to hear from some big donors too. All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. We've been talking politics, this Harris Waltz interview. I won't call it the Harris interview because she still has not agreed to do an interview alone.
Or a press conference,
which is really what the media is looking to do when they say interview. It's to take their live questions, not anything that's pre-taped, not anything that's pre-done. I mean, she's literally right now already sitting down with Dana Bash and Waltz to pre-tape what is going to air at 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. CNN will cut it all up. You will probably see some of that if you watch CNN, or even other networks may air pieces of it that they let out earlier today. So it's a television event that is not live. It is pre-taped. There is no gotcha. There's no there's plenty of time to edit. It's all been negotiated. What's not negotiated is when you step off the rally stage and talk to the traveling press corps, they shout out, and you got to take three or four questions, and you don't 100% know what's coming. You can kind of guess, right, by being prepped on what people are talking about, what you're talking about. So it's not like you can't prep it all for what people may say. And if, honestly, you get a question about something that's happened during the day that you haven't been briefed on yet, you can always say that. You can always say that. That's an okay response to say, you know what, I've been speaking for 2 hours. I need to talk to my team about that. So it's not that scary. But they're that concerned to do a real live press conference with Harris. Let's go back to the phones.
Let's go to Tom calling on line 3 from California. Tom, you're on Seculo.
Hello, gentlemen. It's good to listen to y'all because I'm glad to learn there are more than 3 conservatives out here. So keep up the good work. You guys play off each other and compliment each other. Great. Question is this. What to prevent CNN, Harris, and her babysitter from screwing up a comment or making a mistake or a gaffle and them censoring it without us ever knowing it? So 100%
that will be done today. I think there will be a tense moment allowed in. So there will be an exchange that's tough, and that will be already pre-approved that they're getting that tough question. So it's going to be a tough response, and Dana Bash may have a follow-up question that's tough too. So I think you'll get a little bit of that. So it doesn't look so just happy-go-lucky. But is most of it going to be cut? Uh-huh. Most of this interview you won't ever see because they're probably sitting down for an hour to get 30 minutes, maybe 35 minutes of actual interview time because then they got to go to ads. Then they got to go to their own panels discussing the interview. So even if they did the full hour with ads, that's only about 40 minutes.
Right. I think you're it will be edited. It will be cut up. Yes. That's why they do them pre-taped.
See it before
of
tonight.
It's coming from. Yeah, of course there will be clips that will go up. There'll be clips that will go up all day.
Even if you're a Fox News viewer, they'll probably have some.
Yeah, because they want to start promoting you to see it. So you may see the tensest moments in those clips that'll come up, and then you'll get some softball moments. Obviously, still coming from CNN. So whether they want to play hard, like
there's nothing to stop them.
The last few weeks, because of this, they have been more hard on the Harris. But now they got it. They were the ones to get it.
So are you going to be nasty now?
I don't think nasty is the right word. Right. No, that Fox is or not. Fox would be a different situation. Just why she won't do the debate on Fox. It would be a different put you actually on guard for once. They know walking into CNN, even if it's respected journalist, if you will, in quotes, that it's going to be softer and it's going to be edited.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
And look, if I'm wrong, good for them. But
I'm always happy to be pleasantly surprised, like I was by the first debate that unfortunately Donald Trump did too good of a job with, and that was CNN, and that was Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. Yeah. What I have here that I've never said is not so much Dana Bash, it's the editors and what they had to negotiate to get this interview, Logan. I mean, remember, this is a pre-taped interview with hours to edit. 8 hours to edit.
In another bizarre situation where, again, you can't just do it. They won't just do the interview. It
has to be
sitting there with Waltz, pre-taped.
In a very formal-looking, whatever kind of background. Maybe it's not formal,
It's just not what you're wanting out of someone who needs to be good on the fly.
They want to talk about weird. Weird is you've got the chance to have the first female president in the country, last minute, too, in campaign world. And yet she's got to be there with the 6-year-old white man. Has got to be sitting next to her to answer these questions.
It's the same as not going to the border. Yeah. It's admitting defeat in some weird way.
It's a weird visual. This is very visual, these sit-downs. And you got to have your white teacher guy, old man, to sit next to you. I just think it's like, come on. I thought this was bigger than this. And you're going for president. He's going to be the vice president. But I have a feeling he's going to be the one that delivers the nasty stuff.
All right, let's take last call of the day. Let's go to Mark in Louisiana on line 2. Mark, you're on Seculo.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for being on the air and promoting justice. My question is this. Is the Republican base doing anything or looking into so we don't have a repeat of the 2016, let's say, unethical voting procedures?
Yeah. Mike Watley, who is actually the chair of the Republican National Committee, is also an attorney, election attorney. He came out of North Carolina. So he's been leading that effort. So that was a big part when Trump got the nomination and the new chairman was put in at the RNC. And by the way, the RNC had been working on this before, had been doing legal efforts across the country. Now, is it tougher in blue states? Absolutely, because you're not going to get laws passed that are very helpful. And even when you do get laws passed, like Arizona did, the Supreme Court sometimes knocks them down, and they did. But they are working not just on passing new laws, but election integrity. And then you're seeing also, Logan, from the actual Trump campaign, has embraced early voting now, which is something they did not do at all last time around, which we thought was not a good idea because about half the people do vote early, especially busy people, people with kids, people with tough jobs that are unpredictable, so that you don't get there and say, oh, this is going to be a 3-hour line. I can't do it. I got to go pick up my kid and get to this, and you got to pick up this prescription. I got to get, if you early vote, your vote's in. And they are actually embracing that.
You're also not seeing the blanketing of states with live ballots that are going directly unsolicited live ballots.
We got 3 last election cycle.
So I think that is one thing you're not seeing. And I think it's a good move forward as well.
This is what I want to tell you about though right now. I got 2 minutes with you. So don't turn the dial. Don't turn us off yet. We really need your financial support. You know that we've launched in this last 2 days of our Life and Liberty drive, a drive to raise $500,000. This goes together with our fight for life in Massachusetts. The legal fight, the counter campaign, and what we've just announced today, which is to partner with Save the Storks to get another pro-life pregnancy resource bus on the road. We know that Planned Parenthood ripped off and the abortion industry ripped off these pro-life. There's the side-by-sides. The pro-life pregnancy resource centers and what they designed with those mobile pregnancy units, which are great and wonderful. And, like we've seen them here at our office, they do awesome work. But that's about $500,000 we need to put together, and we need to put together very, very quick. We're trying to do it today. with the matching challenge, Logan. So that's this right. is it. We got 1 minute left on the broadcast today, but people can donate throughout the day at aclj.org. I want those big donors, those small donors. It's going to take all of us, regardless of what you can give financially. It takes everybody to get to this kind of number.
Yeah, again, it is because this is the last day or two of our match where all donations are doubled. So to hit that $500,000 goal, we really need to raise from you $250,000. Obviously, anything above that will go as well, because this is for our legal help. This is for the media work, and of course, to help sponsor, to kick off the building, the creation of a brand new Stork bus. And that does take time, and that takes a lot of resources. But we need to do it today while we still have this opportunity, because at the end of the month, the match is shut off. And we can't do that again for months. So we need it right now. Your donations are doubled during the Life and Liberty Drive final last days. Again, help us get the word out, get us on the streets, whether that's in our media campaign, whether that is in the legal realm, or now, whether it's us partnering and sponsoring a brand new Stork bus right where it's needed the most to help save unborn babies' lives. Right now, go to aclj.org. Do it today. Do it this very minute.